You all had an assignment this morning. My guess is that some of you did not take me seriously. That tends to be the case with a lot of people I know. Hopefully this is going to work right. We talked this morning about the fact that Jesus gave thanks when he instituted the Lord's Supper. He gave thanks when he looked at what was happening in regard to what his body was going to endure. And we're not going to take time to look at these 10 things again. But when he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Here were some things that were about ready to happen in Jesus' life over the next 24 hours. And it's interesting that the Bible says when he instituted the Lord's Supper and gave them the bread, he gave thanks. And we don't know what he gave thanks for, but we know that the Lord knew what he was going to endure. And it's not only that he still went through with it, it is that prior to going through it, he gave thanks to God. And then we looked at those things that the blood of Jesus is able to accomplish in our lives and for us. And when Jesus took that fruit of the vine, when he took the cup, the Bible also says that he gave thanks. Here was that cup that he said, "This is my cup. This is my blood," he says. "The blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And before he hands this to his apostles saying, "This is my blood," he gave thanks. No doubt knowing all that would transpire in the next several hours in his life, but also no doubt knowing that we needed his blood in order to be saved. We needed his blood in order to go to heaven. And so he gave thanks. And so your assignment this morning, in case you forgot, was to bring a list tonight of things that Christians endure in their lives today in an effort to please the Lord, in an effort to serve the Lord. Things that we endure today that people around us are not enduring, but we are, because we're Christians. And also to bring a list of things that we do or are to do as Christians in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, that we don't see other people around us doing, but we're doing them because we want to go to heaven. And this is in connection with the two points that we looked at this morning, in connection with Jesus giving thanks. When he looked at what he was about ready to endure, we know what we endure and what we can endure. And in connection with what Jesus did in giving himself, going through his death and the shedding of his blood, doing that in order that we could be saved and go to heaven. And there are things that are required of us to do in order to be saved and to go to heaven. So tonight, I want us to make a list. This screen is intentionally blank. Because I want you to help us to make a list of things that Christians endure in their lives for the Lord that other people are not. And I had a rather long list here, but I took out several. Here's four to start with. And you don't have to give a scripture with yours, that's okay. But here's four that God says, four things that you and I are going to endure as Christians as we strive to serve him. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." People who are trying to do what's right, and they're persecuted. The parallel passage over in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 6 and verse 22, talks about the fact that if we strive to follow Jesus, if we strive to live after him, that we are going to be hated, that we are going to be excluded, that we are going to be insulted. Now, that's just four things. Maybe you made a list. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you're making one now. Share with me, not your whole list, share with me one or two things that are on your list of things that Christians endure today in an effort to serve the Lord. Joe?
Being honest.
Is that something we endure? The responsibility to be honest. Anybody else? Eva? Okay? Keeping God's commandments. It's going to go to two lines. Cain or somebody? Fran?
Being taken advantage of.
Being taken advantage of. Jackie?
Being rejected.
Being rejected. Jackie? Say that the first one again is respecting leaders. What do you mean by that? Are you talking about governmental leaders or employee-employer relationships, or what are we? Okay, governmental, respecting our leaders but still being subject to them. Did you say something else after that one?
No, I just reversed the wording.
You reversed the wording. Well, don't do that because it confuses me. What else do we... Bonnie? Okay. Anybody else? Over here. You don't see this? What am I typing for? Where did it go? You didn't. Did you see the first stuff I put up? Take five, would you? You're going to see it in like 2 seconds. Whammo. All right. All right, I forgot one little step there. Okay. There's all your stuff that you've been saying. Sorry. Here I was typing away and you were laughing at me. All right. Pat? We'll put friends in quotation marks. So-called friends. Lisa? Boil that down into like 3 or 4 words. That's what I'm here. I'm the boiler downer. Is that what she said? Did you say perception? Okay. Allison. Okay. Eve, I'm trying to make sure everybody gets one turn before I start double dipping here. Anybody else want to add to the list? Thanks, Darren. Anyone else? Fran. Oh, that's double dipping. Go ahead.
Time and money.
Time and money. I realized my error. Bonnie's checking people off back there. That was two. Okay, anybody else want their one shot? Bonnie will get you if you get a second one in. I'm just teasing you, Bonnie. Here's some other, let me add a couple others that I took off my list here. From Luke chapter 6 also says that our name will be scorned. We will be lied about. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. You all have already got family turning against you. Let me see if I can get this one added on the list here. Oops. This may or may not work. Nope, that didn't work. That wasn't supposed to appear yet. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 says that we will also be threatened in what we're doing. Look at this list. You think we could add to this? I mean, you all only got one shot at this. How many of us are enduring these kind of things? How many of us are enduring persecution, being hated, being excluded, being insulted, having our name scorned, being lied about, having to deal with time and money issues, not being used to our, not being to use our, being able to use, that might help that sentence, not being able to use our full rights as Americans, prejudice, bearing other people's burdens, being honest, keeping God's commandments, being taken advantage of, being rejected, respecting leaders but still being subject to them, dealing with the silencing of God in America, ridicule for making godly choices. We lose family and so-called friends. We're threatened. There's a perception of being hypocritical in our actions. We're scrutinized. We're being human, but also still trying to be Christ-like, and we make mistakes. Temptation from Satan and the chasing from the Lord. Sometimes standing alone when we're standing for truth. Stress because of other people's spiritual state. Could we double this? Because all of us, a lot of this is very broad and general and could be laid out on most of us. But probably most of you have something specific that you're dealing with that maybe somebody else doesn't always deal with. Or you look at this list, and I don't think all of us are dealing with all of these things. Surely our burden is not that great, and yet there's a lot of us that are dealing with a lot. A lot of us are enduring a lot of these things. You look at your life, and there's a lot that you must endure. But coming back to our point about what Jesus did, when Jesus looked at what he was going to endure, the Bible says that Jesus gave thanks. And so the question tonight is, when you look at all that you are enduring as a Christian, do you give thanks for it? It's not our mentality, is it? Our mentality is to gripe about it, complain about it, to say, woe is me, I'm trying to do right, and everybody's trying to make me do wrong, and look at me, poor, pitiful me. Jesus gave thanks for what he would endure. Is it possible for us to give thanks for enduring things? Look at this list. We're not going to look at all of these, obviously, but when we endure for Christ's sake, the Bible tells us that we have to endure. It's a command that we've got to endure. Interesting, one of those things that's talked about in that love chapter about what agape love does. The last thing, verse 7, agape love endures how many things? All things. If we will endure all things, if we will endure as a Christian, the Bible says that we will be commendable before God. We will be blessed. We should rejoice with that happening, because in as a result, we will glorify Christ in doing it. We should commit our souls to him in doing good. We will be glorified with him if we do it. We shall also reign with him if we suffer with him. We should rejoice and be exceedingly glad, not just glad, but be exceedingly glad that we are having these things come upon us. And we need to remember what James says in James chapter 5, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. How can we have that kind of attitude when we have so much to endure? How can you give thanks when you have so much to endure? Why are you enduring it? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just quit? We've asked for things that other people are enduring, or that we're enduring, that other people are not. Are people in the world enduring a lot of those things that we put on that list? Yeah. They're not dealing with those kind of things. They could care less. Why are we enduring them? Because we're trying to serve the Almighty God. Get your Bibles and look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Several of these verses that are on the screen are from 1 Peter chapter 4. The book of 1 Peter is written to Christians who are dealing with persecution from the outside world. And we don't have time to look at all of this, but look in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 2 says that we should no longer live the rest of the time in the flesh according to the lust of men, but we should live according to the will of God. Verse 3 says we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of men. Forget all of this. We've served the will of men long enough. We need to serve the will of God. Verse 4, in regard to these, this kind of conduct that was typical of the Gentiles of that day, in regard to these, they think it strange that we do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of us. Is that today? Dear friends, or quote-unquote friends, your so-called friends, your family, do they look at you and think it's strange that you're not doing what they're doing? That's where this persecution is coming from. That's where all of this that we're enduring is coming from. It's because we're trying to live different from them, and they look at us and they think, you're a weirdo. What's wrong with you? Why don't you just live like the rest of us? They think it's strange that you don't live like they do, and they begin speaking evil of you. Verse 5, what's going to happen to those people who speak evil of you? they will give account to him. Who's going to take care of the people that are bringing all of this upon us? Vengeance is whose? Vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He'll take care of it. What do we need to do? We need to serve him faithfully. Verse 7, we need to be serious and watchful in our prayers. Verse 8, we need to be above all things have fervent love for one another. Verse 12, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial. We don't have a clue. If we presented this list of things that were enduring to the first century Christians, you know what they would say? That's nothing. They'd take it from us in a heartbeat compared to what they had. They had, verse 12, fiery trial. And that's not just accommodative language either. That's not just a metaphor. It is a metaphor, but it's not just a metaphor. Were there Christians who literally had fiery trials? Yeah. Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may be also glad with exceeding joy. We don't have time. Read through the rest of this chapter and notice the blessings that belong unto us. Are we going to suffer as Christians? Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, everyone who desires to live a godly life is going to suffer persecution. If you desire and strive to live a godly life, you will suffer persecution. But verse 19 says, here's what we need to do. We need to commit our souls to the Lord in doing good. And we need to learn, even in the midst of all that we're going through, to give thanks. Acts chapter 5, when the apostles had been arrested, tried, and punished for preaching the gospel, what was their reaction in verse 41? Were they thankful? They were thankful that they had been arrested, tried, and beaten for preaching the gospel. Somehow we need to grab that kind of faith, that kind of trust in God. All right, let's go to our second list. Things, I'll give it to you, here it comes. Things Christians do in their lives in order to go to heaven. And I said this morning, this is not what you do to become a Christian. This is what Christians do. This is not the plan of salvation. This is what Christians do in order to go to heaven. I had a huge long list that filled this whole left column, but I took it out and limited it to just these three. As Christians, we study the Word of God. I hope. Is the rest of the world doing that? Not likely. As Christians, we're striving to do God's will. As Christians, we worship God. The rest of the world, they don't want anything to do with that. I've got enough to fill the rest of this column, but I want to see what you've got. What are we doing as Christians? What should we be doing as Christians in order to be saved and to go to heaven? Bonnie, just get one, Bonnie. Pick your best one. Mary, be hospitable to one another. I'm coming. I'm panning. Visiting the sick and missed the last part of what you said. How about others? All right, hang on a second. We got a lot here and we need to do more. All right, so that's page one. Give me a second. We'll create page two here. Okay, page two, Allison. You can't see it? There, all right. Trudy, did you have one on this go round already? You're sitting next to her. I mean, take your chances sitting next to Bonnie. What are you going to say? Doing good works. What did you say after that? Anybody else? Jackie? It would be a Jenkins that would say that. Mary? I don't have enough room on that line. Study. Still didn't make it. Chuck? Providing a good example. All right. We could go on and on. Darren and then Jeannie. Anybody else? Allison. Oh, we got a new page up and hands fly up. Allison. All right. Nicole. Fellowshipping with what? Oh, those people. Okay. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Here's, what was this? This was page three. Here's page two. Here's page one. And we haven't even got close to finishing the list. Is there a lot that the Lord requires of us? Is there a lot that He wants us to do in serving Him? A lot He wants us to do in order to go to heaven? I think we got most of these that I had on the side here in there. I do want to get these, a couple of these. So one of you mentioned controlling your words. The Bible also tells us to control our thoughts. Is that a good example? You all said that. Matthew chapter 5 tells us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, after doing what's right. List could go on and on. And as you look at this list of what God wants us to do in order to be saved, in order to go to heaven, the same question we asked before is what Jesus did. Do you give thanks? You look at all that God requires of us, and do you truly give thanks for doing these things? Truly give thanks for what He has allowed us to do and called upon us to do. Again, we won't take time to look at these things, but if we will do what God says, if we'll obey His will, we will demonstrate our love for the Lord. We will prove that we are a friend of Jesus. We will guarantee that our prayers will be answered. We will purify ourselves in the eyes of the Lord. It's the only way to be accepted by God. It is our whole duty. It gives us the right to the tree of life. The Bible says if we obey Him, we shall abide forever. Therefore, we need to do these things without complaining that we have to do them. I don't have to do these things. I get to do these things. I get to be called a child of God. And I get to be thankful. And in everything I do, whether it be in word or in deed, I get to give thanks unto God. Can you all not see this stuff? Oh, I just took it off from you. My bad. What happened here? There you go. We don't have time to get to Hebrews chapter 10, but let me point this out to wrap up our discussion and to wrap up this connection between what we've just been talking about and the blood of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26, says, if we sin willfully after we've come to a knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins. We become a child of God and we choose to sin. Whether that be a sin of commission, where God said, don't do it, and I go and do it. Or whether that be a sin of omission, where I know to do good and I do it not, James 4 and verse 17 says that's a sin too. If I sin willfully, after I've come to a knowledge of the truth, there's no longer a sacrifice for my sins because there's only been one sacrifice for my sins. And if I choose to reject the blood of Jesus, then there's no other way for me to be saved from my sins. You get down to verse 29, and it talks about somebody who sins willfully, and it uses terminology to say, this person counts the blood of his covenant as a common thing. Are there things that we have to endure as Christians? Are there things that we do endure? Sure. But we've made that choice. We've made the choice to have Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. And so we ought to be giving thanks, just like the apostles did, that we even have a chance to be called His child. Are there things that God wants us to do in order to be saved and go to heaven? Absolutely. And instead of looking at those as tasks or things that I have to do or check these off and I won't ever have to do them again kind of thing, we ought to love serving God. We ought to love coming to the Word of God, finding what He wants us to do, and just going and doing it, because it's not that I have to do it. It's that the God of heaven lets me serve Him. He's going to let me come to heaven even though I don't even deserve it. There's a lot more we could say here. But that thought about Jesus giving thanks before the Lord's Supper is intriguing to me. And the question is, do we have that same kind of attitude? When we look at what we will endure, when we look at what we should do, do we have that same kind of attitude?